Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mouth of the Tyne podcast brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skerr, joined as ever by Joe Buck to discuss everything surrounding Newcastle United at the moment. And Joe, there's probably no better place to start than St James's Park on Saturday, opening the Premier League season with a 5-1 win against Aston Villa. Just first of all, how are you doing and what were your thoughts on that game?
I'm doing well, thanks, Dom. It's hard not to be well when you sit and look at the Premier League table and Newcastle United are sat, you know, top of the table. It might only be 1 week, but it doesn't happen often. So you've got to enjoy it. But yeah, I mean, what a day it was on Saturday. I think we were probably both very nervous going in. You know, Aston Villa, very, very good team, and we'll finish around Newcastle this year. There's no doubt about that. But to come away with it with a 5-1 win and to do it relatively comfortably, there was a couple of nervy moments which we'll show a touch on. But yeah, it was a fantastic performance and a great start of the season for Newcastle.
Yeah, brilliant. And the atmosphere, everything surrounding the day, like you said, ahead of the game, Aston Villa, we played them in pre-season, 3-3 draw. And for the best part of 60 minutes, it seemed to be unfolding a similar way. It was quite end-to-end. Villa were creating chances, Newcastle were creating chances. It was a fairly open game until the sort of floodgates opened for Aston Villa then.
Yeah, it was. I think I turned to you about 20 minutes in, thinking I'm tired. Yeah, after the first 20 minutes, it was right. Both teams didn't really seem to not want to defend, but I think both teams were so good in the attack that they, you know, made the defences look very ordinary. And you're right, there was a couple of times where Villa could have got back into it. You know, you think about that chance where Watkins puts Sven Botman down and then hits the shot save and Matty Cash fires over. That was a 3-1. I think that was a real turning point of the game. I think if you make a 3-2, then it's a completely different game. But as you say, Newcastle were just relentless and they were brilliant going in the last sort of half, well, last half of the half. So, you know, the last quarter of the game, they didn't give Villa a chance to get back into it. And they looked so dangerous on the break with Harvey Barnes and Callum Wilson. But overall, it was a great performance. I think lots of standout players. I'm sure we'll talk about a couple of them in a minute. But yeah, I think none of them came out with that game with necessarily having a bad game, not even a bad game, to be honest. I think if your ratings are right, if I remember them correctly, I don't think you give everyone less than a 7. So that shows that, you know, pretty much everyone had a very solid game.
Yeah, 5-1 win. If you're giving anyone less than a 7, that's I'd expect a couple of pelters. But yeah, you spoke about the individual performances. My man of the match, your man of the match, I imagine 90% of people who watch the games, man of the match, Sandro Tonali, his Premier League debut. 6 minutes in, scoring from that Anthony Gordon cross, played a role in the second goal, played a role in the fourth goal, was just everywhere. And after a fairly unassuming pre-season from him, after his £52 million move from AC Milan, what a way to introduce yourself to the Premier League and to Newcastle fans.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I think I was surprised that Eddie Howe picked him to start. I thought he might go with the sort of tried and tested midfield of Longstaff, Bruno and Joe Linton, and then maybe bring Tonali on later on, you know, to slowly introduce him to Premier League football. But his decision was justified after 5 minutes, as you say, with that early goal. I think what pleased me about that goal was how far from deep he came to get on the end of that cross. He was, you know, outside the box when Gordon picks it up almost, and he makes so much room to get in there. Isak does brilliantly to hold off Mings. And yeah, and he could have really had a second actually just minutes later with Martinez denying him one-on-one. So it was a brilliant performance. And I think I said it at the beginning of the preseason, he's just all action, isn't he? I think he wants to get involved with everything. And I love that from midfield, and especially someone, as you say, making their debut in the Premier League, just be getting involved with everything on the pitch is a brilliant sight to see.
Yeah. And as you say, we could go through the entire team, but Sandro Tonali, I mean, yeah, deserves all the praise he gets. Another player, though, I think deserves a special mention. Alexander Isak starting the game. Another choice for Eddie Howe. Do you start your top scorer from last season, Callum Wilson, 18 goals, or do you start Alexander Isak, your record signing, 63 million almost a year ago he came in? And that 63 million, really, in today's market, is looking like a bit of a bargain, really.
Absolutely, you're right. It is weird that Isak seemed to have gone under the radar a little bit. Obviously, Tonali gets the headlines, and that's not a surprise. But he has scored 2 goals. But I think as Newcastle fans and as journalists, we're just used to Isak putting in them kinds of performances. He didn't really do anything flashy, you know, on Saturday. He just did everything he was required of him. He was in the right place at the right time. He was, you know, he bullied the Villa defence at times. And yeah, he's a brilliant player, and I'm so glad that he's hit the ground running, because obviously he had that slow start last year, didn't come in until late, and then with the injury as well after a couple of games. So it's nice to see him having a full pre-season with the club for the first time and really hit the ground running. Yeah, what did you make of Isak's performances? And just a little bit behind them, sort of Gordon and Almirón on either side, and then obviously Harvey Barnes. What did you make of the front three in total? Because I thought they were really good pretty much all game. And when Eddie Howe refreshed it with Barnes and Wilson, they looked, you know, almost even better.
Yeah, it was obviously a big decision for Eddie Howe to make his front three. He's got decisions to make on either side, plus the central striker position, which we mentioned before. But like Anthony Gordon, do you go him? Had a very good pre-season. Do you go Harvey Barnes? He'd scored two goals the week before in the Cellar Cup. And then even on the right side, Miguel Almirón, 11 goals last season. But then Jacob Murphy really came into it the second half of last season as well. So it's nice to have those decisions all across the front three, in the midfield three as well. It's probably the defence, which we'll get on to later on in terms of sort of transfers and bolstering that, where there's not too many choices for Eddie Howe to make. But the real strength and depth was epitomised when you're bringing on Callum Wilson, Harvey Barnes, 31 goals between them last season. You're taking off Alexander Isak on a hat-trick and you're going on to win the game 5-1. Barnes combines with Wilson 4-1 and then probably should have went himself instead of going to pass to Wilson again. Could have made it 5-1 moments before he actually did. And it was just great to see. But on Alexander Isak, yeah, 10 goals last season, probably went under the radar based on the fact he missed so much football. And you'd think a fully fit Alexander Isak would do probably what Callum Wilson did, even maybe even go a step further and push that sort of 20-goal mark. Because I think that front three, like you say, Anthony Gordon, Miguel Almirón, Alexander Isak, they complement each other very well. They're all really quick, energetic players. And Alexander Isak seems to be, after struggling with his fitness, admittedly, in the first few months of his time at Newcastle, seems to be getting fitter and fitter. And his real touch of class, his ball control, his technical ability and his eye for a goal are up there with some of the best I've seen at Newcastle United and some of the best in the Premier League at the moment, to be honest. So, yeah, that strength and depth we're really starting to see. And I think, Joe, it bodes well for the upcoming Champions League campaign.
It definitely does. Eddie Howe's got so many options and so many options that are, you know, very good Premier League players and know that what Eddie Howe demands of them, really. Obviously, the new signings will take a couple of months to adjust or, you know, a couple of weeks, but we've seen already that they've already slotted in pretty seamlessly. So it's very exciting. And yeah, it's going to be an exciting campaign. You just think, right, get these four games until the first international break. It'd be really interesting what they can do because they're very tough games. You know, Villa was very tough at the weekend. It doesn't get much tougher than what's coming up on Saturday. But if they can get these four games out of the way and get a couple more positive results, then as you say, they're going to go into that Champions League campaign full of confidence that no matter who plays starting 11, whoever's asked to be on the bench, they're going to deliver for Eddie Howe.
Yeah, and like you've just touched on, this weekend, Manchester City away. I would say arguably, but I think it's just almost a fact that it's probably the toughest away game in world football at the moment. Treble winners, Man City obviously got off to a good start of the season with a 3-0 win at Burnley. They haven't got Kevin De Bruyne, which is obviously a boost, but like we're talking about Newcastle's strength and depth, Manchester City's is just on another level. And okay, they've got the Super Cup to play against Sevilla Wednesday night. But yeah, Joe, Man City, how are you feeling going into this game? Because I mean, Newcastle, I think they've lost each of the last 14 league visits there. They haven't won in the Premier League. I think the only win at the Etihad Stadium came in the League Cup. So it's not a happy hunting ground, but you go into it on the back of a 5-1 win, there's worse situations to be in.
Absolutely. I think you're right. You're never confident going to Man City as a Newcastle fan anyway. And I think Saturday's result does make it a bit of a free hit. It always is really a free hit, but especially after getting that win, knowing that if you'd told everyone before the season, if you'd come away with them two games with 3 points, you'd be delighted with that. If they can pick up a point, it'll feel like a win. And it would be a real statement that if you remember this time last year when they played Man City, what was their second home game of the season, you know, they went toe-to-toe with them then. So if they can do a repeat of that, then, you know, it would be a real statement to lay down. But I think obviously it's going to be a really tricky game. And what will happen, I mean, Newcastle will probably put up a fight. They'll, you know, it might end up going down a bit like it did last year, sort of 1-0, 2-0. But you know for a fact that this team will give everything. They'll run their socks off. And Man City won't want to play Newcastle. That would be the one thing I would say is, if you're asking Man City or Pep Guardiola who would they least likely like to face this weekend, it would be Newcastle. So they're going to be worried about what threats Newcastle have, especially on the break with the pace who got out wide. So yeah, it'll be a really interesting game. I'm not expecting any from it, but you know what? Stranger things have happened than Newcastle going to Man City and, you know, picking up a win on Saturday.
Yeah, is the mentality almost changed? I know it's, you say it's like a free hit, but in the past, anything at Man City was a bonus. But now we're going and like, there would still be a real sense of disappointment if Newcastle got beat, as you'd probably expect them to. But we're going in now where it's like, you want to be challenging for the at the top of the league and for the Champions League places. A draw, a win, you almost not need those results, but like, You're thinking more positively and thinking more, we could do it, it's possible.
Definitely, I think this is definitely the most confident, I think, Newcastle fans have ever been about a game, you know, at Man City. I think the good thing is, you know, for a fact that Eddie Howe and his team will believe they can win on Saturday. You know, there's from Trippier at the back, even last season, was always talking about Champions League and things like that. You know, they have got really high expectations and Eddie Howe will drill in the team how they can beat Man City. And they will all go in, they'll all enter that pitch on Saturday thinking they can get 3 points. They've just obviously got to deal with Erling Haaland, which, you know, a lot of Premier League teams have struggled against. I suppose Newcastle did fairly well against him last year. But yeah, that he's always a difference maker where, you switch off in defence even for one little moment, he can punish you. So I think if they can deal with Erling Haaland, they have got every chance. But that's obviously a massive big if.
Yeah, we'll be... Both of us will be down there this weekend covering the game for the Shields Gazette. And yeah, hopefully Newcastle can continue the good start of the season. But yeah, going to be a tough game. But looking ahead, there's still a few weeks or a couple of weeks left of the transfer window. Newcastle made 3 senior signings so far in Sandro Tonali, who we spoke about, Harvey Barnes, who we spoke about, Tino Livramento, who was an unused substitute at the weekend. But Eddie Howe said he wants one more signing through the door, but as admitted, the club will probably have to be creative with the final signing, which means either a loan with a potentially an option or an obligation to buy, or perhaps some sort of structured deal where you pay a lump sum later on, or you separate the payments over an extended period. So the areas Newcastle are talking defensively seems to be the priority. Centre-back is an area they've looked at, but I think the priority now looking towards that left-back position and pushing. There's been reports this week, Kieran Tierney, that's re-emerged interest from Arsenal. It's been ongoing for a while, that one. And Mark Cucurella as well from Chelsea is another option that's been reported. Joe, just what are your thoughts on that? And do you think it's a key area that Newcastle should look to strengthen, that sort of left-back or even left-sided centre-back position?
Absolutely. I think we probably entered as soon as, well, the Chelsea game last year, I think we thought Newcastle would then strengthen at left back. It's taken probably a bit longer than I think even probably they thought to get someone over the line. It's funny because Dan Burn's done very little wrong at left back over his year and a bit playing there. But if you want to progress, you probably need some like an out and out left back. I think maybe a centre half might be needed, but then you think, well, you can shift Dan Burn, you know, into defence if needed, if you then get a left back. You've still got like someone like Jamal Lascelles, who's showed a preseason. You know, he's still going to be a very good, you know, backup option to Fabian Schär. So, defender's definitely needed. And if it was down to me, I think you'd probably go for centre back. But I can get why they want a left back. And if they can get anyone in who can play left back, who can maybe fill in a centre back at times, or at least gives them an option, because obviously Newcastle, the way they attack, they like Kieran Trippier getting very high. And they like having, you know, the 3 defenders and Dan Burn often slots of centre back. So if you can have someone in similar mould to Burn who's willing to play as a centre back and a left, you know, left back and attacking centre back, or whatever, I think it's somewhere they need to go. And we've seen Tierney links, you're right, Cucurella's a new one. That's the type of player they need. They need someone who is out of favour at a top club, who is Premier League proven, who can do it at that level. But we've seen the top clubs, you know, generally don't want to do business with Newcastle. You know, they're a major threat and it's going to be really tough to get even one of them over the line, even if it's a loan with an obligation, because even if that happens, the price will just shoot up. We've seen that with Newcastle. The talk about having to be creative, as Eddie Howe said, they're going to have to be very creative to try and get anyone in. anyone proven in, sorry. And then your other option after that is maybe someone, you know, from abroad or someone who's unproven in the Premier League. So it's going to be really delicate balance and something that they've got 2.5 weeks to solve. I have every faith they're going to solve this problem, but it's just, I'm just glad that they've addressed all the other issues first. And this is their only issue really going in the last sort of fortnight of the window, that they only need to bring in a centre back, which would be nice. It would be not something necessary they need. It would just be nice to fill out that squad depth and give Eddie Howe another option.
Yeah, it seems like sort of the missing piece of the puzzle, if you like. I'd say, I said left-sided centre-back before. It's right-sided centre-back Newcastle looking at. But the priority seems to be that left-back position. I think Kieran Tierney would be a good one, like you say, out of favour. Mark Cucurella, another one, it's just not worked for him really. At Chelsea, we saw him pre-season against Newcastle. He got badly exposed for Miguel Almiron's goal. So he'll have to certainly up his form if he were to move across. But we've seen with Chelsea, Newcastle have been quiet about several players at Chelsea since the takeover and pretty much got nowhere with them. So whether they get anywhere with Mark Cucurella, I'd personally be surprised. But we'll wait and see on that one. Kieran Tierney is obviously one who would be keen on the move, we understand. So see what happens there. We'll obviously have everything over on the Shields Gazette, all the transfer updates. I'll be back at Eddie Howe's press conference on Friday. Me and Joe will be at the Etihad on Saturday. And just before we go, a quick update regarding the Shields Gazette, an important one as well. Since our last podcast, our colleague Miles Stauff has obviously announced he'll be leaving the Shields Gazette after 18 years. It's sad news for us all, but just wanted to say thank you to Miles for all his hard work. Let everyone know the situation, regular listeners to the Mouth of the Time podcast. Yeah, thank Miles for all his hard work and help over the years. Be a big miss, but all the best for the future, Miles, for myself, Joe, and everyone at the Shields Gazette. But yeah, Shields Gazette coverage will continue this weekend. You can also keep up to date with all the Newcastle United transfer news, rumours, coverage over on the Shields Gazette website, and sign up to our newsletter via shieldsgazette.com/newsletter for more information on that. But yeah, that's enough for me. Thanks, Joe, and thanks everyone for listening to the Mouth of Time podcast. We'll see you next time. Cheers.